We're sitting here with Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins. I'm Ben Wagner next to Mike Wilner. And Ross, thanks so much for giving us the time.
Yeah, good to be here. Beautiful day.
This is an interesting day as well for, I think, you, for Mark Shapiro, who we saw on the field next to CC Sabathia at Rogers Center just last week. CC Sabathia is being honored here on this farewell tour. He's at Yankee Stadium. When was your first interaction with CC Sabathia?
I remember it well. I was in Double A. I was a minor league player, and he had been drafted the same year. I think it was 1997. It was 98. And he came up to join the Akron team as a first-year drafted player. And we were all just blown away by his maturity, his professionalism. He was 17 or 18 years old, walking into a clubhouse of 23-year-olds and 24-year-olds. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. He looked at me and said, "Hey, Ross, Ross, I'm CC Sabathia. Nice to meet you." And he used my name, and I thought, like, how does he even know what my first name is? You know, how could he possibly know who the 24th man on this roster is in Double A? And just immediately thought, man, this guy's going to be, I don't know how special he's going to be as a pitcher, but he's going to be exceptional as a professional.
The first time you saw him pitch, did you see that flash of brilliance?
Oh, yeah, man. The guy, you know, it's power, feel, athleticism, the repeatability. But he was also, he was still, you know, the athleticism jumped out, but he hit the skills and the nuances of pitching, where he put his foot on the rubber. I remember that being something that Carl Willis, the pitching coach, one of his first pitching coaches, talked about a lot. He stood on top of the rubber. His first professional bullpen or game, and so some of the nuances to baseball that, you know, he had relied on so much athleticism and talent and making subtle small adjustments, but you still see it. You know, it's remarkable to see the athleticism. I'm sure he would have been a very good NFL player, a very good NBA player had he committed to those sports.
We heard over the winter that there was a flirtation with CC, with you guys, that he was someone that you wanted to bring in here as one of those veteran guys. You wound up with a Clay Buchholz, a Matt Shoemaker, but obviously you're saying the way you're raving about CC, we can kind of figure out pretty easily why you wanted him in a Blue Jay uniform.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so rare to have someone be one of the better players in the game and also be just such an exceptional person and leader, and I'm not taking anything away from any of the best players in the game, but it's more just a compliment to CeCe, because he's achieved so much. He's accomplished pretty much everything you're setting out to do. He's won, he's Cy Young, he dominated, he's recreated himself, and he just continues to be competitive. And he's always been a good teammate. He's always been an exceptional teammate in the way that he makes others around him better. He makes it about the collective, and there's never been any discussion or any banter about any selfishness around him or any concern about contract, any concern about things coming back to him. And he's been through some tough times too. He obviously, there was some aspects that were public that he had to work through, but he's always been accountable, he's always been a good teammate, and he's always been exceptionally professional.
Ross, those interactions with a guy like CC Sabathia from your playing days, and then what you got to know with the caliber athletes like CC and like those guys that were in Cleveland when you were the farm director, are those kind of the foundation and the rock bed of where you want to implement teammates, the culture, and the things that we hear about you and Mark and obviously the entire organization talking about right now, where you want to go within the Blue Jays clubhouse?
Yeah, you know, it's to us, it's not just how you do it, it's not just why you do it, it's about standing for something and then about it being special, and not because we want good people to just be professional. We want to win, and we feel that it's a competitive advantage when guys are focused on the team. We feel that it can take pressure off individuals to be focused on the team. So it's something that we talk about all the time. It's something that we obsess learning about from other organizations, from other sports, from other businesses. And it's just always been something that we see as a competitive advantage. I think all 30 teams would agree we just spend an exorbitant amount of time thinking about it, talking about it, placing emphasis on it. We're doing everything we can to develop it and develop an environment and culture where people know it's important, it's going to be rewarded, and talk about it from day one so that when these guys get here, and it's good to hear, now we can hear the players using some of the same language, and that's a very good sign.
And it's interesting, too, is when we talk about these good guys in the room, it feels like you're talking about the players often who are at the margins. You're trying to make it that your best players are these guys. But when you look at the margins, if you sign a Clay Buchholz, good in the room, maybe he stays healthy for 3 months and you can turn him into something. Maybe he teaches Trent Thornton a curveball that turns around his September. This is also some of the outgrowth of these people you're bringing in.
Yeah, I mean, guys that get to points in their career where they truly want to share and help others get better, that's exceptionally powerful, and we've benefited from that, there's no doubt. Matt Shoemaker has been exceptional that way. Ken Giles has been great that way. Obviously Freddie Galvis, and it's talked about every day just what an impact Justin Smoke has. Smokey really, really has taken almost a big brother role onto these individuals. And man, when he hits home runs and you hear the cheers, I could hear our dugout how happy they are for Justin Smoke when he's hitting the ball over the fence, and how much our team cares about him. So it's exceptionally powerful the way that we view it, that if guys are thinking about the collective and thinking about the team and thinking about other people, that makes for an environment that people want to be in.
We're chatting with Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins. Let's start on Bo, too, because it could have been a catastrophic injury in Baltimore when he was hit on the head with a fastball that was coming up and in. Where is Bo right now in terms of the concussion protocol, and what is the outlook for him over the next week?
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing where we take minute to minute, not even day to day. And we'll obviously follow the Major League Baseball protocol, and we'll follow our protocol and ensure that we've done everything to eliminate any potential setbacks and ensure he is back to 100%. So for us to say that could be in 3 days, or it could just be something that just goes into the off season, it really, we don't know, because we just go minute to minute and day to day and be very careful with it.
When you look at all the guys that you brought up, making the decision, making the timing, and whatever was the consideration of when you brought up all the kids, and this season has been built around almost every day talking about the kids and seeing progress and maturity and advancement and continued development, but on the major league stage while doing so too. When you look back at the season, did you push the button at the right time?
Yeah, I mean, so here's how I feel. I feel that this year having lost more than we won has been difficult, and having watched the progress of our young players coming together as a team and playing very well. Not just one or two guys, but a lot of guys making significant strides. And I can't say enough about Reese McGuire, the toughness of Dan Jansen to have gotten through this year and what was asked of him, and it never impacted his defense, because offensively was a grind for him. The toughness, the resiliency, and the timing, that is usually somewhat individual, but based on alternatives that we had in the major leagues and where playing time would be, where guys were in their development, Kevin Biggio was clearly ready. Bo Bichette was clearly ready. Reese McGuire is ready. Jano is ready for the challenge, and Vladdy's certainly ready for the challenge. So, feel good about where things are, and could not feel more convicted that we're doing the right thing for this organization. And, the timing is what everyone wants to know about when that turns into wins and losses, and that's very difficult to project.
We're with Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins and talking about these rookies who are ready and or ready for the challenge. We also, I think everybody hoped that this season you'd find some things out about some of the older players, Teoscar Hernandez, a Brandon Drury, Billy McKinney, Derek Fisher, since he's come over. Rowdy Tellez, and they've all had up and down years, and for all of them there's been more down than up, but there's been some up. What do you see in that group, and how do you make your decisions going forward on who gets time, who doesn't, who you move off from, who you commit to?
If you put all of the work together, we see progress. We see a lot more plate discipline out of a much more consistent approach almost across the board. And, you know, Brandon Drury has still been a very valuable player for us this year, even though his offensive performance is down a bit. He got off to a really slow start, too. And, you know, that was collective, and that it was – guys were trying to pull out of it individually, and we were just pressing too much early. But the defensive strides that we've made, the versatility of Brandon Drury, Randall Grichuk remains an incredible outfielder that can play all three. You know, Lourdes Gurriel moving out to the outfield, and just how exciting that is to think about with that offensive production, the athleticism, and just how aggressive he is as an outfielder. And Derek Fisher is a really, really interesting player. The combination of power and plate discipline is just so hard to find. And I think if our runway can be long enough for him, he's got a chance to be really, really special. So, all of those pieces, there's still development opportunities for them. And I have a ton of confidence that two or three of them, of those five or six or six or seven names that we've talked about, are going to be really, really, really good players. And our hope is that all of them just continue to get better.
Chatting with Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins, are you blown away on how successful the transition has been for Lourdes Gurriel Jr. to left field when he's healthy?
Yeah, man. The athleticism, it's clear. When he was playing in Cuba, our scouting report is almost exactly what we're seeing now. We thought he would be an offensive player that we knew could play the outfield, and there was some chance he could be that versatile player that plays around the diamond and plays in the infield. And we knew that the most important development was in the infield. So the scouting report is almost exactly what we're getting. We knew he'd be a good defender in the outfield. We still feel that he could be that versatile player. We'll see, based on alternatives, based on what we need, what's best for him, what's best for the organization. But you know, we still feel that he could come onto the dirt with what he did a year ago at shortstop. I mean, that is not easy to do. So Lourdes has been there's a lot to love about Lourdes Gurriel, and we saw that 3 nights ago, and continue to see good at bats from him, just bouncing back from the injury, and major league pitching is something he can handle.
Let's talk a little bit about pitching, because I have a feeling next spring Nate Pearson's going to be what Vlad Jr. was last spring, with everybody, Empo, everybody talking about them, everybody watching every time he goes out, and how excited people are. First of all, tell us a little bit about how excited you are about Nate Pearson on the way up.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me of Bo in a lot of ways. Like, he wakes up thinking about how he can be better at everything. He's very disappointed when he doesn't dominate, and when he's not one of the best players that was on the field that day, and he usually is. So that's rare, fortunately. So he's not disappointed too often, But it's that drive and that commitment that is one of the most exciting things about Nate. So he's in a great spot, and we'll continue to just focus on his development and what's best for him, what's best for the organization. This will be an important offseason for him. They all are. Every offseason is important.
Is there still a concern over the lost year last year, where he only threw a couple of innings because of that elbow injury?
You control what you can control. There's nothing we can do about that. So we just focus on how we improve and how to get better.
You have enough arms in the organization to build a rotation for next year already?
Oh, we do. Yeah, we do, but I think we'll look to add to it. We certainly could. I think, you look at the guys that are here now, and how well Trent Thornton has pitched recently, how, Wagisback continues to make impressions on us that, we're somewhat unexpected. I mean, just where he is at this point. Anthony Kay has been great. TJ Zoik has been great. So there's pieces that then you start to talk about the guys that are in AAA and the guys that will be coming up from AA. There's there are enough pieces to put together a pitching rotation, but we'll look to add and complement that.
That's good, because you're talking about, you didn't even mention Ryan Brucki, who has missed all but two starts this year. And that's good because it's upper-level talent, too. You're not talking about in the coming years you're going to get this next wave. The wave is now on the cusp of coming up.
And that group of pitching is a much larger group than we've had over the years. It's 20-plus. It's into the waves of pitching that's coming. It's not dependent upon 5 to 10 guys. It's now 25 to 30 guys that we see across our organization that have the attributes to get major league outs.
In the short term, then, does that allow flexibility, much like what we look at on the diamond? Does that give you flexibility then with how to maneuver guys that may be starters in the minor leagues, but if you need a guy that can serve as a long man or even a power pitcher, you can transition them and build the depth in the bullpen?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going to see guys that like Yancy Diaz or Hector Perez or Tom Hatch that maybe make their transitions as relievers and have a chance to start at some point, but we'll see. You know, it's a young group that has a lot of opportunity and develop ahead of them. There's the one guy that I can't say enough about internally, and I'm sure he's not underappreciated by you guys, but Sam Gavilio has been unbelievable. I mean, 90 plus innings, he's pitched in every imaginable role in every situation, and two nights ago, massive outs for us in a big situation. So man, that is invaluable, and we'll continue to have stories like him. So we feel like you can see it, you know, in the last, I think, the toughest schedule in baseball, if not the toughest, the second hardest, I believe, over the last couple of months since the deadline, the fourth or fifth hardest schedule since in the second half, playing in the AL East, adding Atlanta and Houston and the Dodgers to that for a very, very, very young team with now very young pitching bodes very well for our future. We're in every game. We're obviously winning more than we're losing right now over the last 10 days. So that just bodes really well for our future.
Ross, before I let you go here, and we're chatting with and wrapping up with Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins, how do you evaluate Charlie Montoyo and the coaching staff from this year?
It just puts a huge smile on my face to think about it. It's been remarkable. It's been, you know, like I said, like it's not easy to go through a year like this, and obviously we're having a lot more fun right now over the last couple of weeks watching this team, this young core come together playing against very, very good teams and winning games and doing remarkable things on a daily basis. But Charlie he's been awesome. He's been everything that we could have possibly hoped and then some. He's incredibly positive. He's incredibly passionate about this group. It feels as though he's been a Toronto Blue Jay his whole life, the way that he's embraced this environment. So, and the staff's been exceptional as well. I mean, the way the guys have come together, how cohesive they are, they're really, really professional. They're exceptionally mature given where they are in their careers as a group. So that has clearly been a highlight for us.
Ross, we thank you for the time. Definitely.
All right, Ben.
Pretty good.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to CeCe. Thanks for letting me talk about him. He's a remarkable man.
Absolutely. Ross Atkins, the Blue Jays general manager, our guest here on the pregame show as it continues. Thanks again.
All right, guys.